Right. Well, just looking back over this past week in the US, it's been sort of a mixed bag of data, but the most positive part of it was that the inflation indicator that came out for the month of July, right at the end of the week, the core personal consumption expenditure deflator, came in close to expectations, just a little bit below in the core part of it, and was up only 0.2%. That meant that the annual inflation rate stays at 2.6%. That's really a key one. You know, when the Fed's looking about, you know, cutting interest rates at its next meeting, which is this month. Much of the rest of the data, it was a mixed bag. And this is the puzzle about this. Yeah, we are getting to a point where the Fed is in a position to start to cut rates because the inflation rate has been coming down. But the economic data, yeah, if we went back a week ago, we had more of the weaker data coming through this week. It was mostly on the firm side. So you know, it suggests that you know, the Fed's going to be cutting rates at a time when the U.S. economy is growing not far away from its long-term potential. You know, obviously, there's great news for risk assets in the very near term, but runs the risk that at some point we get a disappointment and we can get a lot of volatility out of this. But looking at some of those other numbers that came through, you know, we had durable goods orders the month of July. They were expected to lift by 4%. They lifted by 9.9%. Yeah, and admittedly, they fell by 6.9% the month before. But over the 2 months, you know, it's a pretty good and strong gain. House prices in the US, we had the S&P house price index month of June. And house prices are still roaring in the US. They're up 0.4% month on month. And the annual rate of change is 6.5%, better than the market expected, which is 6.2%. We had both consumer confidence and consumer sentiment came out. The Conference Board's August consumer confidence reading actually went up against expectations to 103.3 from 101.9, as did the August Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey. Not quite so dramatic there. It came in at 67.9 for the final reading from 66.4 for the initial reading. So that's actually quite a strong reading. Also personal income, personal spending, they're still growing pretty well and suggests that the US consumer can keep spending. So personal income was up 0.3%. It was expected to only be up 0.2%. That was after a 0.2% increase the month before. And personal spending rose by 0.5%. That was expected, but it's an improvement on 0.3% for the month before. And on top of that, we also got a revision to Q2 GDP. You know, we get three readings of this over time, and this is the final one. And it's lifted it, which is a surprise. You know, it came in at 2.8% annualized when we were looking at the initial reports of this. They've lifted that to 3%. There's nothing shabby about 3% growth in the US back in Q2. And the part that got revised up quite strongly was consumer spending. Got revised up to 2.9% annualized growth from 2.3%. So, you know, there's still, you know, pretty good support there for growth. We got the Atlanta Fed. They do these GDP trackers for Q3. That's, you know, obviously we're not through Q3 yet, but they track some of the data that's coming through to give an idea of the way the GDP is coming in. And yes, their trackers suggesting that there's a moderation in economic growth. They're still running at 2% on their tracker annualized. So, you know, we're still a long way north of recession. And so, you know, as we get into these Fed cuts, it is going to be an issue of sort of relatively how quickly, you know, the Fed can bring rates down and how far. At this point, it looks like being, you know, a fairly slow affair with these sorts of numbers coming through. Just moving to what's coming out this week, well, we start obviously with a holiday in the US. It's Labor Day, and so nothing coming out of the US tonight. But then we get things like the latest ISM manufacturing and non-manufacturing PMIs. The manufacturing PMI will come out Tuesday night, and the non-manufacturing PMI, that will come out on Thursday night. The manufacturing PMI, they're expecting a small lift there to 47.8 from 46.8, so that one's still in contractionary territory. But the ISM non-manufacturing PMI is expected to lift to 51.5 from 51.4. We'll also get, I think the market's going to be watching initial jobless claims. They came down a bit last week to 231,000. If they hold around that level, then it suggests that there's still some strength, some renewed strength, if anything, running through the labour market. And one of the figures will be watched, even though it's subject to huge revisions, as we found out with some of that benchmark revision going back just over a week ago, got non-farm payrolls coming out on Friday. And at this stage, that one's expected to show a stronger rise for the month of August, up 163,000 from 114,000 going back the month before. We're watching average hourly earnings. They're actually behaving reasonably well now. Going back last month, it was a 0.2% monthly increase. The annual rate of change was 3.6%. Probably 0.3 for the most recent month, and that'll bring us back into the mid-threes for average hourly earnings, almost where the Fed would like it to be to keep inflation ticking down. The unemployment rate, though, had a lift. Last month, everybody got a bit of a shock when it went from 4.1% to 4.3%. If anything, that might actually drift back down again, and so we're looking to that to come in at 4.2%. Last month, that was when a lot of people got excited and said, look, this is really starting to motor to higher territory where there's problems. It never looked that way when you looked at all sorts of other indicators in the US. So just watching that one when it comes out on Friday. But for the most part, the data this week's probably not going to get in the way of this sort of buying support that's coming through from time to time for risk assets in the US, although as I say, there's a problem with this in that you've got the Fed who will be easing policy. They've got some room to ease because obviously their funds rate is at 5.25 to 5.5 range. Yes, well above the inflation rate, and so there is some room to move interest rates down, but it's an issue about how far you can move them down when you've still got the economy running quite strongly. And something we'll be talking about a lot more over the next, not so much the next 6 months, but looking down the track 9-12 months, is inflation going to bounce off low points and start to cause real headaches in about 12 months' time? And that's something which is just coming onto the radar now, but watching that one as we go through the way the central banks are trying to get to interest rates down now, but at a time when the economies are not exactly that soft. Now, of course, there's always an exception to this, and that is China. And we had a little bit of Chinese data last week. We had the manufacturing PMI came out. That came down to 49.1 from 49.4, that's obviously quite soft. And the non-manufacturing PMI came out over the weekend. That went to 50.3 from 50.2, so it's only just above the 50 level. Obviously, China's economy is one of the softer ones at the moment, so watching that one. We won't get a lot more data this week. We get the Kaixin versions of their Purchasing Managers Index. That's often looked on as being a more reliable version. And the Kaixin manufacturing PMI comes out tonight. It was at 49.8. It probably might get to 50. We'll wait and see where that one comes in. And also the cakes in non-manufacturing PMI is looking quite good at 52.1 last month. It may hold around that level. So just waiting to see how those show as we go through the course of the week. Then we came to Australia, and last week, we had the July CPI came out. As expected, some of those initiatives in the budget, including the energy rebates, they've done their temporary effects. They'll be doing it a few more times over the course of the year, but they brought the inflation down, not artificially. It is actually bringing the headline inflation rate down, but with the risk that it's going to bounce back up again once those benefits are removed. And so the July CPI came out at 3.5%. Down from 3.8% going back the month before. Paradox of this one is that everybody thought it might go a bit lower than that because we didn't get quite as much benefit running through as we thought in terms of reducing the inflation rate. And many of the sticky parts of the inflation rate were still holding very sticky. So whilst it appears on the face value that it looks pretty encouraging, in many ways it's not. And you saw that with the trim mean that came out at 3.8, and they're still holding up nearer to 4% than 3%. So that one still plays into the hand of the Reserve Bank, where it's saying, look, we still could be a long time before we can start to think about bringing interest rates down. We've still got this sticky inflation problem lasting for longer. So that came out with that one. We had also Q2 construction work done, Q2 private capital expenditure. They came out at plus 0.1% for construction work done. That's certainly a lot better than the revised minus 2% coming out the quarter before. So that means that some building work will be making a bit better contribution to Q2 GDP when that gets released this Wednesday. Private new capital expenditure, though, went in the opposite direction. And private new capex was down by 2.2% after being up by 1.9% on revision going back to the quarter before. So a bit of a mixed bag there in terms of contributions to the GDP number coming out this week. We also had retail sales for the month of July. They were flat for the month, but it follows two pretty strong months before that. The annual rate of change just edged back a bit to 2.2% year on year. But not too bad, but watching that as we go ahead. And we also had July private credit still being driven by housing credit. It was up 0.5% month on month after a 0.6% move the month before. With credit running relatively strongly, it's very, very hard to launch a case, as perhaps the government and the Treasury are trying to do at the moment, that interest rates are too high, and in the Treasury's words, are smashing the economy. Credit doesn't grow that way. If interest rates were genuinely smashing the economy, in fact, credit's growing at a pretty healthy pace. Obviously there's a clear anomaly there in what is actually happening, and what is said to be happening by the government. And of course, that's a worry because it means that the government is at odds with what the RBA is trying to achieve as well. Moving to this week, and today we'll get building approvals out, we'll get second quarter business inventories and company profits. Home building approvals might be a small bounce there after being down 6.5% the month before, but they are tracking at a pretty low level, still nowhere near the targets we need to lift housing supply. Q2 business inventories, we had quite a strong contribution from business inventories going back to Q1 when they rose by 1.3%. It looks as if they might have come back a bit down 0.5%, so there'd be a bit of a detraction from GDP growth from business inventories. And company profits were down 2.5% quarter on quarter going back to Q1, probably down but not as much. Market's looking for those to be down about 0.6%. On Tuesday, before we get the GDP reading on Wednesday, we get another contribution. That's the international sector. Q2 current account deficit looks as if it might have widened a bit to $5.5 billion from $4.9 billion. But that's in nominal terms. And over the quarter, we had a pretty hefty fall in export prices, over 5% in the quarter, and a small rise running through import prices. So that tends to mean in real terms, the situation doesn't look anywhere near as bad. And so the Q2 net export contribution, net exports detracted 0.9 percentage points from GDP going back to Q1, probably going to be about half that in terms of detraction in Q2. So the way that Q2 GDP is shaping up, it looks as if it's going to come in around about 0.2% quarter on quarter. It was at 0.1% going back to Q1. There's a chance that 0.1% might get revised up with one or two of the revisions we've seen of some of the data of late. So it means that the annual rate of change for GDP is probably around 1% year on year in Q2 from 1.1%. Now, GDP per head is still in negative territory because obviously a lot of this has come through from very, very large migration totals. But still, we've got some growth there. We're skirting along at a pretty low level. But we need to if we're going to get inflation down. That's one of the problems. Later in the week, we'll get July international trade. We're still running a pretty good trade surplus on month-in, month-out basis. Perhaps not as big as the previous month at $5.58 billion, but still a trade surplus around 5.2, we think. And also we'll get July home loans coming out on Thursday. Back in June, we had a bounce in home loans after one or two softer months, and before that, some very strong months. So going back to June, the total value of home loans is up by 0.5%, and the market thinks that's risen about 1% for the most recent month. So that's still running fairly strongly running through. So all told, these numbers that are coming out this week, probably not going to make an awful lot of difference to what the Reserve Bank's planning at this stage. We will hear from the Reserve Bank Governor too. She'll be speaking through the course of this week. We heard from the Deputy Governor last week, and he was still making it plain that interest rates here are not too high, and that we're still going to be holding them for longer. Moving to Europe, and last week we got the Business and Consumer Confidence Survey came out for the month of August. It lifted to 96.6 from 96, so that's a little bit of an improvement running through there. We also had the CPI, preliminary CPI for the month of August, and that came in at 2.2%, down from 2.6%, so it is coming down much closer to the ECB's target. But the core CPI is still up there pretty strongly. It was 2.9%. Going back to the month of July, edged down to 2.8%. It's interesting to watch the CPI in Europe because there's some reasons to expect it to bounce again as we get into the last month or two of this year, running into the first part of next year. This is exercising the mind of the ECB as well. They are saying that growth is at least as important, trying to underpin that has inflation, but they're running into problems with various of the constituent governments in the European Union and what they're doing with fiscal policy. So it's getting very tricky for the ECB. They got one interest rate cut away a couple of months ago, but they haven't been able to do anything since. So the inflation rate's just working down enough perhaps to get another one away when we get to their next meeting. That's not this week, that's next week. So looking at that as we go a little bit further ahead. And some of the data coming out this week, we get both their Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index August and also the Services Sector PMI. Manufacturing PMI looks as if it'll go down to about 45 from 45.6, so pretty soft and contractionary. In contrast, the August Services PMI was at 53.3 going back to July, and probably going to hold around that level, and that's actually pretty strong. And this is the issue. It's services which are holding things together, driven by turbocharged tourism. And you may have read that some places like Italy now thinking of putting in a pretty high tax on tourists coming into the country because they're just overwhelmed at the moment. It is making a contribution, but some of the policy changes might actually take some of that away as we go a bit further down the track. We'll get producer prices coming out for the month of July. That'll be up, but not much, and still down on an annual basis about 3% year on year. We'll get revision to Q3 GDP, and the first and second report of it were 0.3%, 0.6% year-on-year. We don't expect any change to that, and perhaps some July retail sales when they come out on Thursday. Slight improvement there, up about 0.1%. But all told, this week, it's probably sort of famous last words, but there's not a lot to get in the way of the rallies that we saw developing in risk assets over this last week or so. And but longer term, there will be an issue because it's an issue of how much and how quickly central banks can bring interest rates down. At the moment, the market's wedded to an idea that they can bring them down almost normally, which is usually quite sharply and a lot. It just doesn't look that way this time around. And in any case, here in Australia, we're an odd man out, where we can't even think about starting to bring interest rates down for about until we get into the early part of next year.